NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Charlie, always good to hear from you. You have the floor. What's up?
What's up, guys? Phil, Matt, see you. How's it going?
It's great, man. Just a great Monday. Got a big week coming up, and maybe it'll be more additions for Cal's first recruiting class. Maybe get a few players in for Mike Nabors. Yeah, hopefully get some baseball wins, too. How about you?
Well, everything's good. Yeah, I mean, I was looking at Cal's, you know, as he's slowly building this team, and when I saw he signed a kid named Boogie, I'm like, there's no doubt in my mind that kid could hoop. If you got a name like Boogie, you got to be able to hoop, right? I mean, your kid's name is Boogie, so I was happy.
I would imagine he can change directions really quickly with a name like that, yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, before, you know, I think they've gotten their, has it kind of been said that they've gotten their freshmen, now they're going to try to go more portal because you want the mixture, or I haven't really heard, where do you think they go with that? And as far as the baseball team goes, I was proud that we got 2 out of 3. You know, I thought the third game, you know, it is what it is. We came up short. We got some hits on the board, at least in that third game. I think Bubba even mentioned that towards the end. And I think that, obviously, right now for me, it feels like we're Kendall Diggs away almost from this team, just from him getting back to the way Kendall Diggs, we know Kendall Diggs can play. And then it's like, once we get there, it feels like we're going to be in a really good spot. And I hate to pinpoint it on one player, Phil, and maybe I'm wrong by that, but it just feels like we're one or two players away from it getting, you know, more consistent as far as our hitting. Because, look, you know, Stovall, Holt, boy, the way he can, his power, I mean, it's crazy. And you can't take Peyton Holt off the field. What a play he made. Did that make SportsCenter top 10? What Holt, a play he made.
Holt, that was number one. Yeah, Charlie, that was number one on SportsCenter. Absolutely. Look, the thing about Diggs is that was a guy going into the season that you would just be, you took it for granted. We all did. We all took it for granted. Because he had such a big year producing runs last year, and maybe the thought of the walk-off homer against Ole Miss the year before, it's like, well, you know, they're going to get what you got out of Diggs last year. And that hasn't happened. Part of it might be the shoulder injury and maybe the lingering aspects of it from the last week, since they really started having the chance to treat it. You know, you just need somebody in the outfield to produce. And I think Holt can be a really dynamic hitter. I don't think he's some big power hitter, to be honest. I'd be surprised if he were to hit, you know, double-digit home runs, but he's producing when he does get the opportunity. And man, with Diggs, you got to get something from him right now. You need something from him because he's a much more productive hitter than he has shown throughout the year. And that game against Florida, the 9-5 loss, is just kind of the wrong situation for Jack Caglione to come up. If you're Arkansas, bases loaded. Frank even made a pretty good pitch, and he still hit a grand slam off of it. That guy, Jack Caglione is kind of the kind of year that I didn't know if you could really have, where he's hit 12 more home runs than he has strikeouts. It just doesn't happen. Everything he hit was hard. Everything he hit was hard, including we saw the hardest ball we saw hit all year. It was a 115-mile-an-hour ground ball to Sprague Lott when he was over at the right side of the infield. So, he really is. I think he's as good as advertised. And the fact that Arkansas kept him without a home run in two games, that's saying something. Jerome in Boonville, you're next on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Hi, Jerome. How are you?
Good. How are y'all?
Great. Thank you.
So y'all all seen the spring game. What's y'all's opinion on the Hogs coming up this year?
Well, I'm hoping to see an improvement upon last year. I didn't watch the spring game in the middle of baseball season, but I don't know if you're really going to be able to dictate an opinion of what is going to happen this next football season based on the spring game. Looks like they got your quarterback. Looks like you got your number one running back in Jaquindon Jackson. I think what we're looking at here, though, is they know that they're still a little thin in linebacker and defensive line. That's why they've gone after more of those positions in the portal. I wonder where else it is that you're looking. But you ever base your opinion on what's going to happen next season on the spring game?
I think Satania is going to be better. I like Armstrong coming back. I think we're deep at tight end. Yeah, I think our offense is going to be a strength this year. I don't see our offensive line being a liability again. I think they're going to be better. And then hopefully by year two, you know, year two for Travis Williams, hopefully that's a little tick up and get everything on all cylinders. What do you think, Phil? There's no reason this team can't win seven games next year.
I would agree. I would absolutely agree. Put themselves in the same situation that last year's team was in all those close games. Yeah. Maybe there's a couple more plays that are made instead of the other way around.
Exactly. You know, you win one, you're not supposed to. You get to eight, and if take care of your home games. Coach Pittman always wins the SEC game on the road. I mean, we destroyed Florida season last year. They were going to get to six and get to a bowl game, and they kind of messed it up on themselves though with that penalty at the end. But you know, you got to tip your hat. We didn't have our OC that game, Kenny Guyton getting carried off the field. I mean, that was a big win for the Hawks. So you think they'll be able to go somewhere next year? I haven't really looked at the schedule, but we'll win one of those games on the road and take care of your home business.
What'd you think, Jerome? Did you watch?
Yes, sir. I think we're going to have an explosive offense with your new offensive coordinator. I think my question is, do you think we have a bad season this year? Is it the year we get rid of Pittman?
Well, I mean, it's trying to make a decision for an athletics director if we in this win. Case, but I think if you don't make a bowl game this year, then I think all things are on the table. That's just kind of the direction things seem to be going in from last year.
Coach.
All right, appreciate it, Jerome. Thank you very much. We can take more calls, more texts as we go throughout this show today on the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963.
If you don't win an SEC game, then yeah, everybody, you got to change something up. If it's that bad, if you go 1-7 or 0-8 in the SEC, then something's going to have to change.
Yeah, but I think right now, if you're looking at it, you know, with the season not even started yet, it's a little difficult to figure. There's still additions to be made. There are still additions to be made through the transfer portal. I just wonder, you know, when you're making additions in the portal at this point of the year, are you getting guys who will make a difference for you, or is it a matter of just a little added depth? Because it is a point where you're getting players that were probably told, you know, you're not going to win a position here. You might have to go somewhere else. I mean, that's Snacks Johnson just goes back to Baylor because he wasn't going to be the starting nickelback here at Arkansas. So he's going somewhere where he's...
He going back to Baylor?
He's going back to Baylor.
Well, good for him.
I don't know if the good situation is going to start there or not.
Hey, if you don't want to be here, then I wish you well. You know, you want guys that want to be in that locker room. You want guys that want to compete. And you had a chance to compete. But, yeah, what are you going to do at Baylor? Was Baylor any good in football?
I don't think they were all that good last year.
I guess I can't really say much. It's not like we were any good this year. But I don't know that Baylor's that good either.
Jamie asking about Will McIntyre's struggles. Yeah, last five outings, he's gotten knocked around a little bit. Batters are hitting close to 500 against him in that stretch. I think it's seven innings, 10 runs in the last five games he's pitched. So what you see is I think he's not quite getting that cutter over for a strike. And may need to go for maybe a little bit of a different plan as to how to get a guy out, because they're game planning for the cutter, which has been his best pitch, and that's a pitch that can be special sometimes. But I think he's got to pitch off maybe another pitch to keep him off the cutter a little bit. And in the aspect of, well, you got to finish nine innings for a game, and quite often McIntyre was out there throwing two, three, four innings. You need other pitchers to emerge, or you need your starters to go a little longer. And we're seeing that now, that Hagen Smith went seven innings on Friday. Brady Tigert went into the seventh inning. I think that, you know, I think in certain situations, you'd let Tigert maybe try to work out of that situation. Cooper Dossett is emerging. Christian Fauch has emerged. There's another pitcher I'm trying to think of here that you can. Jake Faraday threw two innings scoreless the second game Saturday. I mean, these are all pitchers that when McIntyre was really dealing, they weren't getting an opportunity to pitch very much. And when they did, I think in Faraday's case, he would show reasons why you wouldn't throw him. But now he's showing reasons why you do want to throw him. You know, Faraday struck out Caglione. That's saying something. That ended a streak of 56 plate appearances without a strikeout for Caglione. He'd hit something like 10 home runs in that stretch. That's ridiculous. So Faraday's got the kind of stuff that he can go out, he can give you an inning, he can give you two innings. So there are struggles for McIntyre. I think they'll need him maybe not quite at the level that they've needed him up until the last couple of weeks.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
BetOnline is the number one source for all your sports betting this season and every season. You'll find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends all at BetOnline. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. The fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Go to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code BELIEVE to receive your rewards. Bet online, where the game starts.
Did you watch a lot of college baseball over the weekend? I know that's kind of what you got your head in these days.
Yeah, I did. Went home Saturday night and caught the tail end of the A&M-Georgia game. And Georgia was up by a run, but A&M in the bottom of the eighth had runners on first and second with nobody out. And I thought, well, I know how this game's going. And then they brought this reliever in, and he struck out six straight guys, eighth inning, ninth inning, and that really helped Arkansas. It kept them a game back of Arkansas in the West.
Hey, Micah, as this team goes forward and has some success, what's a number? You know, like when we were talking Kentucky basketball last year in the tournament, they're like, hey, they got to get to 80 to win. What's a number with this pitching staff you think this team has to get to be able to win and have a chance to win it all this year? Like 5 runs a game, 4 runs a game in Omaha?
Well, it was interesting because there's been this focus on hitting and how it's not good enough, blah, 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 blah. And certainly there's an issue at times. Other times they hit the ball pretty well. But the can't remember his name, but the analyst for the SEC Network, I think, pointed out that if you get to Omaha, pitching becomes much more important because you're not going to have all these teams that are hitting home runs, Tennessee, Kentucky, or whatever. That ballpark is cavernous, and the wind generally blows in, so pitching becomes much more important. So I don't know if there's a number, but the pitching ERA has gone up, which I think is understandable because they've gone up against better hitting teams lately, but it's up just a tick over 3, and Tennessee's number 2, and they're almost at 4. That's the gap between Arkansas and everybody else in the SEC in pitching. The one guy I think they're still, you know, they got to be worried about is McIntyre because he had an ERA of just a little over 1 there for a while in the SEC, and it's just ballooned up lately. So I don't know what's up with him, but that's a concern. But honestly, I think what happened to them in Game 3 had everything to do with Mason Molina not being there. I mean, I think their relievers, I think I looked, and they went something like 30 innings with their relief pitchers. Or 13, I think. So that, you know, that's a lot of pitching for your when you don't have your starter going 5 innings, 6 innings on day 3, that kind of eats into your bullpen. So I'm not too concerned about what happened in Game 3. I sort of felt like they had problems in that game.
I just I think sometimes we might view eventually, Arkansas is going to lose a game. If they lose 2 games in a postseason weekend, well, then it's over, you know. And,
right.
And eventually, you get outscored once. It's just really difficult. Look, this team has lost 2 games in a week once this year. That's it. beating them twice is the really difficult thing to do. And I don't view this the way that I do. Like, remember when Iowa and Michigan played in the Big Ten championship this year? And you're like, well, Iowa's great defense. There's no way that they can keep that Michigan offense down to their level offensively. Baseball is not like that. It's actually so often it's the good pitching that beats the good hitting. You don't look at it. Well, the offense is broken, so you just can't win ball games. No, they still find a way. Look, they're really good at winning one run ball games. So they just find a way to score one more run than the opponent. And it doesn't matter who you are, who the opponent is. You score one more than them, you've beaten them. And that's what they're doing. All these tight games in the SEC, Mike, I think that eventually pays dividends in the postseason because they're just used to pressure.
Yeah, I mean, Kentucky's lost 2 or 3 at home to Tennessee. They were at home and lost that series. Now, Tennessee's good. Tennessee's making a move to be number one in the country. I was a little thinking they might do it because they've won 6 straight. South Carolina, Kentucky still got to go to South Carolina in Columbia. So what happens there, you know? And then, of course, Arkansas, you know, that's a big series. So, you know, have they, you know, they've lost a series at South Carolina. They lost a series at home to Tennessee. Now, are they still down when Arkansas gets to Lexington? Who knows?
Yeah.
But people get so hung up on this, and I just keep saying this. History suggests that winning the league or winning a conference tournament has jack to do with making it to Omaha and having a chance to win the College World Series. This selection committee decides everything on selection day because they don't do it strictly on seeding. You know they don't. Theoretically, the one seed, whoever has the one seed at the one highest rated regional, the one seed, you should get the worst 2 seed, the worst 3 seed, the worst 4 seed. They don't do it that way. I mean, theoretically, last year TCU should have been go to some regional down, you know, 14th regional, 15th, 16th, something like that. Why did that happen that way? I don't know. I just know that they just sort of randomly pick this NCAA field and who you end up with and then who you face in the super regional. And if it happens to be a team that looks ordinary but then gets hot, you're dead. You're not going. And then there are years when you think you're not going and you do go. I just think the selection of that field determines everything when you're talking Omaha.
I want to ask about roster construction for basketball. Charlie had brought this up in the last segment. So you got your 3 signed high schoolers that are now coming to play for Cal. You got 1 transfer in Ivicic. I know they're working on Adu, the center from Oklahoma State as well, along with Adu from Tennessee. Do you think you focus more on veterans now? Like the idea of you want to have like a mix of a talented roster of incoming freshmen, players that you might use the term established in college basketball or returners, and then 2, 3, maybe 4 transfers that have been around and are more veteran like. So I mean, where do you think is the next piece to fall as far as the roster is concerned?
Well, again, they had. You know, the Tennessee center in, I think he's gone now, going to North Carolina and visit there. They want both of those guys. Those are veteran inside players to go with your one inside guy that you've got that's got a year behind him. I think they still will go for veteran forwards, veteran guards. This is, nobody seems to know because Cal in the past has really been heavy toward bringing in freshmen and relying on those freshmen. We saw what happened when Muss did that 2 years ago. But you got all these Kentucky fans saying, yeah, that's what he's going to do. He's going to bring in a bunch of freshmen, and he's not going to play enough of them. They're going to get mad, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. We're in new territory with him here. We don't know what he's going to do, but I have a feeling that he's done with the freshmen, you know, the high school seniors. And I think we're going to see him now bring in some veteran players at most of these positions, and starting with two big guys.
What do you think about on the women's side for Mike? I mean, last week was a tough week with Samara Spencer going into the portal, and then Miriam Dowda, which that one kind of hit really hard. All five starters, you know, outside of Carly Keats, who started, you know, pretty much the last month, are either in the portal or have chosen a new school to play for. And it is a real rebuild. And I read Dudley's piece with Mike, and you know, Mike is talking about this is all part of the plan and it's all late stage execution, but all we've seen right now are the players that are leaving, so he's just kind of waiting to hear about the players that are on the way in.
Well, he's gotten two. He brought in a 6'4", I don't know, I guess she's a center, forward, whatever. And then he's got, you know, the transfer from Arkansas State, I think she's going to be a really good player. I've watched her video. I watched her, what she did against Arkansas. That girl is short, but she can move and she can play and she can score. So I think he's got maybe some things that will help him. But, you know, I think you can criticize him for a lot of things. I personally feel like he's too soft as a coach. I think his players play soft defense. I think he didn't handle that situation with, you know, the two guards, or the two, Talia Scott and then, you know, Samara Spencer. I don't think he handled that very well. I know he thought he had it taken care of early, and then it just blew up on him. And I think that had a lot to do with why they left. But the fact of the matter is that these situations, like with Dowda, and he has no NIL money. I've been told none. And you just, this it's starting to kick in right now. Players across the country on the men and women's side are suddenly starting to realize, hey, everybody's doing it. I can do it and make some money. If I got a year or two left and I got a chance before I go out into the real world to put some money away to start me off in the real world, yeah, I need, and I think parents are getting involved. I think parents are telling their kids, hey, do this. Put yourself out there, get some money, and you'll thank me later. So this torpedoes any loyalty issues. You know, Dowda may have liked to be, like, she may have been fine here, but you throw money, put money up in front of there, and, hey, I can go off and make some money here. Why won't I do that? So I wouldn't want to be in his position. But he's in the same situation Pittman is in. They didn't want to pay his buyout, so they're giving him another year. So if he's gone after that, the buyout goes way down. The difference is that Pittman's got a lot of NIL money to play with, and we've seen how he's constructed his roster for better success next year through the portal. You take that away from Mike Nabors, what is he supposed to do? You know, I wouldn't want to be in that situation.
Hey, Mike, we had a couple guys get drafted in the NFL draft. Did you check that out over the weekend? Any surprises?
Not really surprises. You know, maybe you can answer this because I sure don't know. Steve Little, first-round pick years ago, Cam Little and Steve Little are pretty similar in terms of ability. I mean, Cam Little, the top kicker in the history of Arkansas in terms of successful field goals, 82.8% on his 64 attempts, 67 or whatever, and he's a sixth-round guy. I don't know. That's just the way it is these days. And then Bo Limmer, he goes in the sixth round. He's supposed to be a fifth-round pick. Everybody else, McLaughlin, Morgan III, Antonio Greer, these guys are free agents. What does this say about Arkansas football? To me, it says recruiting has been down, and it's got to get better. You know, they should do better than that in the draft. I mean, you look at some of the other SEC schools and you look at that, and it's not very impressive. I'm not saying that it translates directly to next year and how much success you're going to have. But if you want to have a successful football program, you have to put more players in the NFL than that. And we don't even know if these two, I think Cam Little is thick. I don't know about Limmer, but we'll see.
Well, hopefully you get a few more of them, and I don't know. There's got to be a correlation between SEC wins and guys that go in the draft the next year. There has to be that.
Absolutely, there is. Absolutely, you have a, you know, you go through. 2 years ago wasn't good. You're barely above 500, and then you go through last year. That's going to really put a dent in your recruiting.
Hickey and Hole Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hole Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Try the new Traveler Whiskey, a Chris Stapleton and Harlan Wheatley collaboration. A great buy. Also, Hard Truth, Sweet Mash, Bourbon, and Rye are available. Only at Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
Saw a very interesting video yesterday on Twitter of a Georgia pitcher, Christian Maracna. This was in the series. I think this happened Saturday. Yeah, they played a doubleheader with A&M the same day Arkansas played a doubleheader with Florida. And there was somebody that was videoing the Georgia bullpen. It was an A&M fan. I think it was Barstool, Texas A&M. And they zero in on Maracna, and he and a catcher are in the bullpen. Maracna goes over to the corner of the bullpen and squats. And it looks like he's doing something there between his legs. And I had no idea what it was. I just thought maybe he like put a cup down there and was taking a leak. Because there aren't always bathrooms by the bullpens. I don't know if there is one at Bluebell Park or not. So he wouldn't have been the first one to do that. But then they showed another video. You know, just looked, he did something with his glove between his legs, apparently, and put something back over there and was hiding whatever this was that he had put back in the corner. Like hide a cup of urine, right? Something like that. Who knows what it was. But then they showed another video of Maracna on the mound after he'd thrown a pitch, and he pressed on the glove of his, he pressed on the thumb of his glove in a way that you don't see a pitcher do. You know, there's no reason to do that unless you might be applying something to your hand. And there's the thought now, there's this video circling around that there might be some cheating going on with the Georgia pitching staff, and that this video of Christian Maracna is some kind of proof of this. Now, you can only guess what it was that he was doing in the corner, because it wasn't near the camera. He had his back to the camera. You couldn't tell what it was he was doing. I literally did think that they were videoing a guy taking a leak in the bullpen, and I thought, can we like maybe find something else to do other than zero in on somebody doing that? But then when you see him press on the on the thumb of his glove in a way that he had no reason to do, unless he might be applying something to his hand, there might be something to this. Who's the head coach at Georgia? Former Arkansas pitching coach Wes Johnson. Now, I have no idea whether or not Wes is a guy that like adheres to, you got to have the sticky stuff or, you know, some kind of substance or whatnot. But there's a maybe, who knows? Who knows if there's any kind of investigation that goes into this, but folks apparently want an investigation. I wonder what it was he was putting on the glove, because he did put something there. And it would be one way that you could do something you're not supposed to do. They ban the sticky stuff in the major leagues. I don't know if it's banned in the minor leagues, but if it or in college ball, but if it wasn't, what are you hiding? There's no reason to hide it then.
Did they win?
Georgia won.
Are they any good this year?
Georgia's okay. Yeah. They're okay. They've got the guy who actually leads the nation in home runs. 31-12 record. They might be a regional team.
I saw where Zeke's going back to try it again with the Cowboys. And
how about that?
He's a shell of himself. I'm an Ezekiel Elliott fan, don't get me wrong. But I saw him playing there in New England, and New England's a mess anyways. But well, you know, if he could be your goal line guy or you know, a third down guy, I don't know. You got to it's for a roster spot, and he's very, very limited in what he can do. It'd be tough for him. But yeah, Father Time, because is that what you? Then I saw the Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, that your two boys that which I don't think I I mean, you couldn't pay me enough to get in the ring with Mike Tyson for real. And that's going to be interesting to see, but it's going to be sanctioned. So it's going to be
like a real pro fight.
Two-minute rounds, 14-ounce gloves, no headgear.
No, I was going to say, this is a pro fight. That means no headgear.
No headgear, 14-ounce. Well, you want lighter gloves. The lighter gloves you can get is the advantage Tyson. But the you want as light as you can get. But 8 2-minute rounds, I think that's advantage Tyson too, sticking to the two-minute rounds. He could probably give you six, so you got to make it those first three. That's gonna be tough.
Let's take a phone call from Chris in Greenwood. Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Three really quick things real quick. We talked about women's basketball earlier. Does Mike not had any interest in this girl from Greenwood who I guess is the best player in the state?
I don't know what to tell you, Chris. I don't know who it is.
Okay. Anna Story, I guess, is her name. She's an incredible player. I just was curious about that. Second thing, I was wondering, I saw this thing come up about the NFL is going to let them wear those shells on their helmets in the fall. Is that really
it's
true?
It's the Tom Rathman law. It's the Tom Rathman rule. Yeah, those dummy shells. They're
who's going to wear these in a game, though, really?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Are they going to have the logos of the teams on those? I mean, I can't imagine a team would give up their logo covering it with a shell.
I mean, yeah, every time you see the shell on it, you can't tell what team anybody's practicing with because they're only wearing when they're practicing. Now, think in Major League Baseball allowed pitchers to wear the protective cap, which made their hat look like they had like a second head on top of his head. No, but I don't think anybody's wearing. There might have been one guy that wore it, but they look. This feels different than when it was okay to wear a batting helmet in the 50s, but nobody wore it because they didn't want to be the first to be viewed as a sissy necessarily. Do you ever wear those helmets, Matt? Were those helmet pad that they put on top of the helmet? Is that a thing when you were practicing?
No, that's a newer thing.
Yeah, Chris, I guess I'd be surprised if anybody would wear those in a game, just because how it looks.
Well, I thought that what I read is they're going to have to, that all the teams are going to, it's a new rule starting in the fall. And I thought, how silly is that going to be? But, you know, the way they protect quarterbacks, I mean, NFL's gotten so sissy now anyway that maybe they don't care, but. And finally, I haven't heard how you guys feel about this 2-minute warning in college football coming in the fall.
I don't have a problem with it. I mean, we have 2-minute warning in the NFL. It makes sense to have one in college football then too. I don't have a problem with it. It does add another timeout. Are there people that have a problem with the 2-minute warning in college football?
Yeah, they're putting it in the fall, and I was curious about the communication and the helmets. Is that something you guys are cool with too?
That's been cleared. I don't know what probably should have happened years ago. Again, that's something that most of these, that I think all, at least Power 5 schools should have the financial capability to pay for those. So
it's going
to
make quarterback play better. It just is. You're going to be able to, on the OC is going to be able to be in your ear, just giving you pointers and useful tips. And it's like the little paperclip in Windows 95. You know, you go in there and click on that, and it tells you what to do.
All right, Chris. Thank you very much. 877-377-6963 for calls and texts. It's like the idea of the earpiece for pitchers. That has not led to the game being slowed down. Now, there's a couple times where the earpiece doesn't work, so you just switch out for another one, and it helps the game move along. We don't have to worry about signs. You don't have to worry about asking the catcher to go do the signs again. Signs ended up slowing things down, and in this case, you won't have signs with weird things going on the placards on the sidelines, and you can't steal signs anymore, I think. It's got to be a good thing for football. I can't imagine that it isn't. Different. They look like something I've seen young kids wearing around the house when the parents are nervous about them bumping into corners because their heads are about the same height as the corner of the table and the counter and all of that. Yeah, it doesn't look great, but hey, They didn't think batting helmets looked great when ball players first started wearing those.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
I was over at the batting cages with my son yesterday. He was supposed to have a Little League game today, but it's been canceled because of rain. And I saw something that made me question where it is that I'm living. If I'm living in the United States or maybe living somewhere in Europe. Although I don't know how many batting cages there are in Europe. There's a kid who's and I sent Matt this photo because it just kind of hit me a little bit. He's got a bat. He's wearing baseball pants. He's got a batting helmet on. He's standing there at a batting cage waiting for his turn. He's wearing a shirt that says Mbappe on the back of it with a French flag. Soccer jerseys for batting practice is a new thing. But I guess, Matt, this is the world we live in. He truly is. He is a worldwide star. And now even young baseball players are wearing his jersey to the batting cages.
When you're that age, you need to play all the sports. That's right. I saw somebody when I was like, "Hey man, I like your jersey. Had on an Italian national team jersey. That's who I go for." And they're like, "No, I got this on sale. I don't even like soccer."
I remember I
like the color.
We had some kids come and stay with us in high school that were from Mexico, and they gave us Mexican soccer. It felt like a shirt because it was collared, like with the insignia on the left breast and everything. It was like, well, that's the only soccer shirt that I ever got. Like I had my, when I played youth soccer, and the organization I played in growing up was called Dynamo, Pittsburgh Dynamo. But those were just T-shirts. They weren't jerseys. It's usually, like, I would have just expected he's at a batting cage that's wearing a jersey. That maybe it would be, Mike Trout or Otani or Aaron Judge or Mookie Betts, one of them. He can't be the only kid in the country that's wearing a soccer jersey to a batting cage, but it just, the fact that it's a French soccer star, albeit somebody who is known worldwide and probably known more worldwide than any baseball player maybe in the history of the sport, it just hit me. It hit me a little bit. I mean, soccer's become so much more accepted, isn't the word, Followed is the word. I mean, this kid's not going to be wearing the Mbappe jersey if he hasn't watched him play. So here's a kid who loves baseball, and he's obviously watching. He's watching worldwide soccer too.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I've bought in two soccer jerseys that I've actually bought. Now I have a couple more, but Roberto Firmino, he was kind of playing as a false nine then for Liverpool, but he was like Peyton Stovall. You put him in anywhere, or Peyton Holt. He could play anywhere. He could link it up, and he was always just a little bit better, but they're just ballerina ninjas, man. He jumped up and does this kick with his leg and then catches the ball with your foot as you're spinning, comes down, and you're just... The amount of talent, the athletic ability, the fact that they're ambidextrous. How many times you see Peyton Manning throw it with his left hand? Many times you see Kyrie Irving shoot with his left hand? Every time we see that, we put it on SportsCenter for an hour, because it's like we're not used to seeing somebody play with their left hand. They can do that. I mean, it's really unbelievable, the athletes that they are.
You know, in a couple of weeks when Mississippi State comes to Baum Walker, we're going to see a pitcher who throws with both arms. Gerangelo Cinci is a starting pitcher for Mississippi State and a good one. He throws lefty against the lefties. He throws righty against the righties. I've never seen anybody do that before. I can't wait to see it.
That's going to be pretty cool.
I think it'll be really cool. This guy's got a six-fingered glove. I mean, it works on both hands. I know Mike Maddox could do that. Mike Maddox is Greg Maddox's brother, and he's a pitching coach. I was with the Rangers recently. He's been all over the place. But he could do that. I just don't know how often it was that he did that. If he did, I never saw him do it. So I can't wait to see that. I also saw a kid wearing a Dallas Stars jersey at the batting cage, but that's an American team and it's close by. It just really stood out to see a French soccer jersey on a kid that was practicing baseball. Rob and I on I-40 has given us a phone call right here on the McLarty Daniel hotline, and you can do the same. 877-377-6963. Good afternoon, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing fine. This is your soccer intervention. I figured I'd better call in and put a stop to this madness right now.
Well, yeah. Sir, get us going in the right direction then.
Yeah, basketball. John Calipari, must moved out to USC. I wonder if he's regretting that right now. Have you seen what's going on that campus?
I've seen what's going on in the campus, but I don't really know how much the basketball coach really is like paying attention to it or cares much. But he is a coach through and through, so I don't know if he's regretting that or not.
Oh, that's the canceled commencement. That's pretty bad for this class. And I'm like,
does that affect his ability to recruit?
I don't know. I mean, if I were a student and I wanted to go somewhere, I really wouldn't want to be in the middle of a turf war between the Arabs and the Israelis. That's not has a bad track record. I wouldn't want to go out there myself. If I was a college student, I'd say, I don't want that mess.
What about Steve Sarkisian? They had some stuff go down as far as the protests were concerned at Texas. Do you think that affects Texas athletics? If it affects USC, it would have to affect them. That's not the only college or university where these protests are occurring.
Yeah, if I was a dean of a college right now, I'd be putting a stop to that real quick, because that could affect everybody if it happens like early next year again. Because as long as this is going on, they let it happen, it ain't the first, and it probably won't be the last,
Feels like we're living through the 70s, the 60s and 70s again, Rob, huh?
That's pretty much it, except I think the Kentucky basketball team just became a real rival now.
Oh, I think they were a rival beforehand. I just think it's going to a different level now. I think it's going to a much different level.
They got to hate us. Absolutely. They have got to hate us now.
Well, I mean, I think, look, I mean, though they're, you get me going, I'm trying to learn to not go off of what I'm seeing on social media, but that's all you have to go off of. Because I'm not friends with Kentucky fans. I don't text with Kentucky fans. I don't live in Kentucky. I'm going there this next weekend, so maybe I can do a little research for you. Maybe I'll hold up a sign that says, holler if you hate Cal, and see what happens when I'm at Kentucky Proud Park. I'm sure everybody there will have an opinion about it.
Well, I love that he's here. Anyway, that's all I got.
Okay, thank you, Rob. I appreciate it. 877-377-6963 for calls and for texts. Yeah, I mean, I wonder if political protests and the wake that is left behind them affects anything going on in an athletic department. And I mean, USC is a large school, but it is understood. Look, if you cancel commencement, you've got something pretty serious on your hands. But it's happening coast to coast. It's happening on both coasts. It happened in Texas. You know, I mean, there's a certain point where free speech, and we want to get the deans to shut those things down. Free speech is supposed to mean something until it turns violent. Now, I don't know if that necessarily happened. I know we've got threats of violence on some of these campuses, so it's a pretty complicated topic other than just they got to shut this thing down. And I don't know if it affects sports or not. Columbia's had a real issue with things as far as the protests are concerned and some of the language that's being spoken. Their baseball team has won the Ivy League, so it didn't seem to affect them very much. I mean, it's a small sample. There's there's 10 billion things going on in New York City, too, and that city seems to be able to move right along, and there's the same in Los Angeles. What's that?
Yeah, I was going to say, Villanova's pretty good in basketball. They're 17 minutes from downtown Manhattan.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
Connor, how you doing after the draft? You got a day to at least kind of like let everything digest, right?
Yeah, that Sunday after the NFL draft, with what we do and writing predominantly about college football, it's a glorious day. And that's not to say I don't love the draft and, you know, look forward to it, love all the storylines that come out. But that Sunday after the NFL draft, it does hit a bit differently. So, yeah, we're doing a bunch of, you know, draft recap stuff today on the site. They've got stuff that we're doing on the podcast and way too early 2025 stuff because you got to turn the page. But yeah, Sunday was a good recharge day for all of us in this business.
Hey, Connor, what if I, out of all these quarterbacks that went in the first round, what if I said Bo Nix has the best chance to be the rookie of the year or offensive player of the year? What would you say? Who do you think out of the quarterbacks? Is it Jaden Daniels at the Commanders? Which one of these six quarterbacks do you think will be offensive rookie of the year?
Yeah, I mean, I love what Bo Nix has done, and I give him so much credit for overcoming Chad Morris to be able to get to number 12 overall in the NFL draft. I mean, all-time feat to be able to do that. Ultimate, you know, respect for him. But I don't necessarily look at him as a day one starter, despite all the college reps that he has. I think he's still got some work to do to show that he can make some of those next-level reads. So I probably wouldn't go in that direction. I would instead go in the much more biased direction of Caleb Williams, just because look at the pieces that he's surrounded with. Like, and I know the history of Chicago Bears quarterbacks as well as anyone. Trust me, that is my entire life. But you look at the pieces that they've been able to add at the wide receiver position with Roma Dunze, with bringing over a Keenan Allen, and then DJ Moore, who was tremendous last year. And then you actually have a really good defense already. And that's just not a team that typically picks at number one. So if they can stay healthy at the tackle spots on the offensive line, like Caleb Williams is going to have some growing pain moments, but he's a starter from the jump. And there's a reason why there are Bears fans who are so unbelievably excited and convinced that this time will be different. And I think it's because of what situation he walks into as a year one guy.
What about Rattler? I think Spencer Rattler can be a productive NFL quarterback. And he slipped a little farther than we all expected to.
Yeah, Phil, I was pretty frustrated watching the way that this developed. Look, I think that there are a lot of opinions out there about who he was, on the Netflix show QB1, which was, you know, filmed over 6 years ago, and who he was even in Oklahoma. And everybody knows how that plays out. It's his job. Caleb Williams, you know, ends up, you know, winning that job in the middle of that 21 season. Then he goes to South Carolina. Based on the conversations that Pete Thamel and Ian Rappaport, and I think Adam Schefter even as well, were having with NFL front offices, you could have convinced yourself that the last 2 years of his career just didn't happen at South Carolina, and that this wasn't someone who matured and someone who checked every single box at South Carolina. You never heard a bad thing about him. And look, I've seen it up close. I've seen him interact. I know from talking with people there, he checked every possible box. And still, you have people bringing up a Netflix show from high school and like who he was at Oklahoma. And, you know, depending on who you talk to, like his perceived reputation there was much different than what, you know, people were saying about him. I just didn't get it. And I thought this year he had every reason to complain about how bad that offensive line was. And he loses his best receiver, and he had his best season. And so for that guy to fall as far as he did in the fifth round, I'm not saying he's an NFL starter from the jump, but I looked at that as just a great injustice for someone that has really done a lot of the things that you would hope someone in his position would do who had those ups and downs early in his career.
I'm an Xavier Leggett fan. He went in the last pick in the first round. Hey, Connor, the other kid, the other Xavier that went to the Chiefs, and then Ricky Purcell, that would be the last three receivers drafted. Out of those three receivers, which one of those guys you think went to the best spot to have instant success?
I think Ricky Purcell. Ricky Purcell was a stud at Florida this past year. I think people would be stunned that, you know, because they want to put him in the traditional wide receiver box, they would be stunned to see how good his catch radius was and how interchangeable he was in that offense. Some of the plays that guy made this year with a quarterback situation that, look, was good, but they weren't necessarily stretching the field in ways that I think other teams were. I think that there were a lot of people that once they had a second chance to be able to look at Ricky Pearsall, they were thinking, man, this guy is phenomenal. And if, I don't know if you guys saw the reaction that C.J. Stroud had. I think it was a Bleacher Report live stream that they were doing. But C.J. Stroud had this like notable reaction during this live stream where he was so bummed that Ricky Pearsall came off the board because he was hoping the Texans were going to take him. And he's like, that guy can flat out ball. And I think he went to a situation with the 49ers where, look, they're figuring out what they're going to do with Brandon Ayuk. I know that the Deebo Samuel contract could be one that they try and move off of as well. So they got so young at that spot, and they get somebody that's going to be able to step in and be put all over the field as this interchangeable piece in Kyle Shanahan's offense. I think he's got the tools to play right away and play for, you know, maybe one of the best teams in the NFL.
Who had the most players drafted this year overall? And if it was not in the SEC, who had the most drafted out of the SEC this year?
Well, it is kind of an SEC storyline because Michigan ends up having the most players drafted overall. They have 13 players drafted, but the entire storyline was that Michigan was going to break Georgia's record from a couple of years ago. And Georgia had 15 selections in the 22 draft, and the thinking was that Michigan would do the same. And they actually had three of the last nine picks in the draft to be able to get to 13. So they came up short of that. How about Texas having 11? 11 picks from a team that went to the college football playoff. They won the Big 12. They won in Big 12 play by an average of 17 points per game. And Steve Sarkisian returns a team that's top 25 in the country in percentage of returning production. And they have legitimate national championship hopes. They return their starting quarterback, by the way, with four returning starters on that offensive line. They are really, really set up moving forward. And while I am not one to say that Texas is back, because I think you need to show over more than one season that you are an elite team, but man, if Texas is ever going to be back, this is what it's going to look like. I just thought they had an absolute whale of a draft, you know, even compared to a team like Alabama, who had 10 selections, or Georgia, who, you know, who had eight, felt like it was a legitimate national championship contender.
Yeah, I like Seattle's pick. They got that D lineman, Byron Murphy, the second out of Texas. He fell to the 16th pick. Brock Bowers fallen to the 13th. I was really surprised. Atlanta, I'm a Michael Penix fan, so I really kind of thought that Atlanta might take the hometown guy there. But a lot of talk's been talked about Michael Penix and him going eight. What are your thoughts there? Good fit?
Yeah, look, I think the problem that so many people have with it isn't the fact that the Falcons drafted Penix. I think if they take him, you know, they trade back in the first round even to acquire an extra pick, I think everybody's kind of looking at that with a bit of a raised eyebrow because of the $100 million guaranteed to Kirk Cousins this offseason. But they're at least saying, okay, well, they did something, and they kind of acknowledged that they could get him a little bit later. And instead to draft him at 8 overall is just kind of wild. And look, I've seen a lot of Michael Penix, and I think what he has done in his career after four season-ending injuries is nothing short of remarkable. I mean, to get to this place in his career, he was the best pure passer in the draft. But I think the problem that a lot of people had with the pick was you didn't need to get that guy at 8 overall, like, especially when you spent all that money to get Kirk Cousins and to bring him over there with the guaranteed money with a four-year contract, and you sign an oft-injured 24-year-old quarterback with your first-round pick when you have a lot of other areas to address. So, yeah, it's a weird fit from that standpoint, but Michael Penix making it as an NFL quarterback is by no means crazy, and if he does get that opportunity with an injured Kirk Cousins, you know, he could have a stage. It's just how they spent their money and why they invested so much in two different quarterbacks.
This quarterback draft can't be as good as 83, right? I mean, nobody would have known in 83. You get three Hall of Famers out of there, and it would be legendary. But these two drafts will always be compared just because of the number of quarterbacks that went in the first round. I know, like, Marino, I think, was the last pick of the first round in 83. You had six in the first 12 this time around. You get three Hall of Famers out of this class? Nobody knows, but they're going to be compared to 83 just because.
Yeah, they will be. And I was surprised that it was six in the first 12. I didn't think that'd be the case. I was kind of mentally setting the over-under at 4.5 and thinking that I would probably take the under. And I thought McCarthy would be the fourth quarterback picked, and then Bo Nix and Michael Penix would have to wait until night two to hear their names called. And instead, it felt like everybody was saying, well, the quarterback class for next year isn't very good, so we've got to go up and get one this year. And then the gap that came between Bo Nix at 12 overall and Spencer Rattler at 150 overall, that is an unprecedented gap at quarterback. And it kind of tells you, look, people aren't really drafting for backup quarterback. That's just not the way that the NFL typically works. And so I think that's why that gap was so significant. But you're right. I mean, it is going to be compared to these all-time draft classes. I think there are a lot of people also wondering at the same time, will this be 2021? That quarterback class that seemed really top heavy that you're looking at now going, man, Trevor Lawrence was the only guy that's still with his team, even, you know, heading into year four. So yeah, it's going to have a lot of eyeballs on it. There'll be some busts and probably a couple of Hall of Famers. Hopefully Caleb Williams is, you know, at least one of them.
So what do you think when you see that Jaden Rashada now ends up at Georgia? It goes from, I think he was committed to Miami initially, and then it goes Florida, NIL blows up, Arizona State, what, two or three games? So red shirt. Now Georgia, which must mean the NIL worked for him this time around in the SEC.
Maybe it did. The Jaden Rashada situation is shades of Tate Martell, and that's what I worry about. You worry about the people that are in his ear at this stage of his career and all the things that have been said and written about him, and kind of understandably so. And I was talking to Tom Luganville about this last week, about he has really become the face of negative NIL-based recruiting. To see this guy that is now, like you said, you know, former Miami commit, and then it's Florida, then the NIL doesn't work out, and then it's Arizona State, and you have this young offensive-minded head coach and Kenny Dillingham, and it doesn't really work out there. So now you want another opportunity at Georgia. Eventually, it comes back to you and whether or not you're actually able to spin it. Eventually, it does. You're not going to get a chance to spin it this year at Georgia unless something goes wrong with Carson Beck. But, you know, have you set yourself up to get elite coaching and try and make a college career for yourself? That's ultimately the question I think Jaden Rashada is asking himself, or at least I hope he is, because so far there's just no way that this was supposed to play out this way. I don't know what it looked like on the back end with NIL deals. Georgia's been a little bit more, you know, timid in the transfer portal with guaranteed money for some of these guys. But I do think that it does look like more of a cautionary tale so far. And if he ends up succeeding in the SEC, I think it would kind of be against the odds at this point with the way that things have played out.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.